Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today. Today is Monday, November 1st, 2021. I want to spend a good portion of the program today talking to you about the importance of a very historical figure, a great king that my Iranian friends look up to. And I'm speaking of Cyrus the great Persian king who ruled in history. When he ruled, though, he was fair and tolerant with all different kinds of cultural and religious groups. Because my friends in Iran are oppressed on a daily basis with no freedom in Iran, they look to their Persian history for glimmers of hope. And in their Persian history, they recognize Cyrus the Great. And every October 29th, they go to the tomb of Cyrus and rally around Cyrus because he's a symbol of hope and freedom to them as a great Persian king. And it was just last year at this time, when Trump was still president, that the State Department recognized Cyrus Day in Iran. I want you to hear this brief message.
I'm Elliot Abrams, the Special Representative for Iran. On behalf of the United States, I want to wish Iranians around the world a happy Cyrus the Great Day. Cyrus left an enduring legacy of religious tolerance and human rights that inspired many of our presidents, including Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence and the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom. We continue to honor Cyrus in America. Recently, the city of Los Angeles was inspired by the Cyrus Cylinder and built a freedom sculpture in its likeness. Tens of thousands of Iranian Americans came out to celebrate its unveiling. But the Iranian regime doesn't want its own people to celebrate Cyrus Day, and it won't allow Iranians to gather at his tomb today. Why? Because the Islamic Republic represents the antithesis of Cyrus's legacy. The Ayatollahs persecute Baha'is and other religious minorities, promote anti-Semitism, and throw human rights lawyers in jail. The regime tortured and executed champion wrestler Navid Afkari to intimidate protesters. And last year, it shot hundreds of innocent Iranians dead in the streets. This regime doesn't want Iranians to remember the wisdom and tolerance of Cyrus, because as they do, the people are reminded just how much this regime has harmed their great nation. One day, Iranians will be free again, and we look forward to celebrating Cyrus the Great Day together with you then.
That was the Trump administration when we had a time that the Iranians were represented by our president, President Trump. He did more for Iranians than any other president. And you look back in history to Jimmy Carter, to Barack Obama, they did nothing but cause turmoil, problems, and oppression for the Iranian people. And it was President Trump who tweeted and supported the Iranians, especially in November of 2019 when over 1,500 innocent protesters were murdered in the streets during rallies and protests. I want us to be educated, though, with what exactly Cyrus the Great means to the Iranian people. I wrote a book with Manush Bakhtiari, my Iranian friend, about 2.5 years ago. And in the very back of the book, actually the last chapter, 40 years later, What is the Future of Iran?, I talked about the importance of Cyrus the Great. It was during the winter uprising of 2017 when Iranian protesters took to the street in 70 cities demanding that the government get out of Syria and start taking care of them. There was this haunting chat that could be heard summing up the angry mood of the people. Quote, "The people are paupers while the mullahs live like gods." The Iranian economy was in a death spiral due largely to the newly imposed sanctions by the Trump administration. And of course, instead of sharing the wealth with the people that was gained by the sanctions relief from the Obama administration, the mullahs continued financing their terrorist connections and lived like kings while children slept in cardboard boxes out on the streets. Inflation, poverty, and homelessness saturated the landscape, resulting really in an increase of suicide from depression and despair. Iranians were desperate for freedom and longed for the glory days when the Persian people flourished under kings who treated people with tolerance and justice. One such king was King Cyrus, who founded Persia by uniting the Iranian tribes of the Medes and Persians. Although Cyrus, who was known as the great conqueror, was most well known for his tolerance and magnanimous attitude towards those he defeated. When Cyrus conquered Babylon, he was greeted by the grateful cheers of the Jewish community who welcomed him as a liberator. Cyrus is recognized from the pages of the Bible as being compassionate to the Jews, allowing them to return to their homeland to rebuild their temple. Respect and tolerance, well, actually, these are the outstanding qualities of Cyrus, who is credited for creating the first charter of human rights known to mankind. Every October 29th, thousands of Iranians pay respect at his grave, celebrating King Cyrus Day. And of course, the evil regime does everything to oppress them. But what this means is Iranians are desperately searching for a leader, a liberator, a king like Cyrus who will free them from the oppression and the tyranny and return their land to the glory of the Persian Empire. Donald Trump was a figurehead when he was president. Right now, that person is Reza Pahlavi, who hopefully one day will be the new liberator, the new king, the new Shah of Iran. He is the son of the Shah, and he has a very special place in the hearts of many, many Iranian people. It was just a few years ago that the Cyrus cylinder made its way into the United States and into Los Angeles. I have a short soundbite about what this cylinder means to the Iranian people. Let's listen.
Dr. Susan Paidar grew up in Iran, just 70 kilometers from where the famous Cyrus cylinder was excavated back in 1879.
We used to go to that region. We used to go to Persepolis and with my father on weekends, spend time sitting picnicking next to these historical sites. Of course, as kids, we always took it for granted.
But as an Iranian American, what she doesn't take for granted are the human rights and freedoms inscribed on the ancient cylinder. They're proclamations from King Cyrus the Great, who conquered modern-day Iran. The writings grant freedom to displaced minorities, including Jews, abolish slavery, and espouse religious tolerance.
That is something that is really significant, because previous rulers were rather imposing their own state religion, if you want to say. In the case of Cyrus the Great, he accepted the local deities.
The Cyrus Cylinder is on display in Washington's Smithsonian Museum. It's the first U.S. tour for the artifact since leaving Britain. 2 years ago, it also traveled to Tehran. At the unveiling, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad suggested the ideas of the ancient king were not unlike those of Islamic prophets, an attempt to connect the world's only cleric-ruled government with its more tolerant past.
There's a great contradiction here between what Iran once stood for, its rich heritage of support for free thinking, freedom of religion, and the type of system it is today.
The story of ancient Persia is also woven into U.S. history. As part of his classical education, one of America's founding fathers, President Thomas Jefferson, used this textbook on display near the cylinder to learn about Cyrus. The principles of tolerance are thought to have inspired Jefferson as he helped draft the U.S. Constitution.
Cyrus the Great's writing is inspirational. I cried. I got goosebumps. It means a lot. And I'm very happy that it came to U.S.
It is an ancient artifact, still significant today, that she hopes will inspire humanity for centuries more. Kimberly Helkett, Al Jazeera, Washington.
It is a remarkable artifact, and if you have an opportunity to go see the Cyrus Cylinder in the museum, it's a very tiny thing. But what it represents is earth-shattering. It is life-transforming. It is known as the first Charter of Human Rights. It influenced the founders, the founding fathers of the Constitution, the ones that wrote our human rights for the United States of America. It has had a significant contribution all over the world in how fairness, equity, and tolerance are used in productive ways by this Persian king. It has inspired human rights all over the world. And when you think of Iran and you understand that since 1979, this nation has been plunged from an era of peace and tolerance under the Shah to oppression and tyranny and dictatorship under the mullahs. And for the last 42 years, the Iranian people have struggled to regain those glory days when there was a king named Cyrus the Great who ruled as a great conqueror, but was fair, and he gave human rights to all those underneath him that he had conquered. And so as you think about Iran today, please be in prayer for my Iranian friends who desperately want a leader again, like a King Cyrus. The Bible talks about King Cyrus. He's very famous. God used him to return the Jews to their own homeland for the rebuilding of their temple. And so every October 29th, all over the internet, you can see Iranians flocking to the tomb of this great Persian king. And the regime hates it. They do everything to stop them, but they can't really. Because these young people in Iran understand one thing. The old mullahs that oppress them, their day is coming when they too will be removed and they too will be conquered. And they are believing that one day someone like a Reza Pahlavi will come back to Iran and be the great leader like King Cyrus was one day. And so Cyrus the Great and the Cyrus Cylinder. I cannot say enough of that. You can see the pictures all over my Facebook page, and this program is dedicated to my Iranian friends. As we are thinking today about King Cyrus and the meaning and the significance of that ticket to Iranians, I want to talk to us about religious persecution in Iran. The fastest growing church in Iran is the underground church. There are millions of Iranians who have turned their back on Islam when they see the fruit of oppression, and they have embraced Christ. They have come to a knowledge and a personal relationship with Christ. And when I say that the Iranian underground church is the fastest growing church in the world, it is not an exaggeration. It The only rivalry to this church is the underground church, if you will, the house church movement in China. But with being a Christian comes a price in Iran. My Iranian friends find their hope and freedom in Jesus, and they are unafraid and unashamed to stand for him. And because of that, because they openly profess Jesus as Lord, there are consequences. And I have a Facebook page called Praying for the Persecuted Church. In fact, this Sunday is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. There are stories after stories of Iranian Christians. And just recently, I published one, Christians Summoned to Tehran Prosecutor for Final Deference. This is put out by Article 18. It's a website actually originating in the UK that stands up and is a voice for Iranian Christians. So what I want to do is, because we're talking about King Cyrus, we're talking about tolerance and fairness, I want to share now what is happening with Iranian Christians, and in particular these three, Somaya, Mina, and Joseph. Five Iranian Christians who were among dozens arrested during coordinated raids on house churches in three cities last year were summoned on Saturday to give their final deference before a Tehran prosecutor. The Christians were given 5 days to present themselves at the Evans prosecutor's office, and at least three of them have already done so. Joseph Shahbazian, who is an Iranian-American, Mina Kajabi, and Somaya Sarajay. According to their lawyer, Imam Soleimani, the charges read out to them at the prosecutor's office included, quote, weakening the foundation of the family, attracting Muslims to house churches, being members of hostile groups to the Islamic Republic in order to damage national security, weakening the belief in Muslim clerics, propagating Christian Zionism, and establishing and organizing corrupt meetings. They denied all of these charges. Mina, who is 58 years old, told the prosecutor the interrogators had thrown away her actual testimony and said to her, "You must write what we want you to write." Her lawyers said the accusations against all the Christians were based only on the allegations of these Revolutionary Guard intelligence agents and not on any evidence. Mr. Soleimani added that Mina, who is 58 years old, was asked by the prosecutor about the history of Protestantism and how it is connected with Zionism, to which she reported that she had no knowledge about such things. She was also accused of converting her husband and child to Christianity. She responded that she had forced no one to convert and that her family members had themselves decided to convert after seeing the profound change her new faith has made to her life. Mina was then told that another member of her house church had brought charges against her. Interrogators often pressure converts to bring accusations against their friends in order to secure their own release. The Christians were told their cases would now be passed on to the 19th branch of the Revolutionary Court of Tehran. Article 18 has not been able to confirm whether the other two Christians, Salar and Farhad, have yet presented themselves at the prosecutor's office, but they have till tomorrow to do so. I want you to think with me about these charges against them. They are amazing. One of them is attracting Muslims to house churches. Let me tell you something about these house churches. The leaders in these house churches are by women. Women lead the house churches. I find this very incredible because women are, of course, treated like second-class citizens in Iran. They are constantly oppressed by the Muslim man. Isn't it interesting? God in his wisdom appoints them as leaders in house churches to show the significance of a woman to God, to show the equality between men and women, that he would, in his wisdom, use a woman now as a Christian to lead house churches. I love this. It's something else. One of the charges is attracting Muslims. Well, actually, those men and women in Muslim name only, because they're really not Muslims, they are attracted to who Jesus is. They see how Jesus treated women. They see how Jesus treated people during his earthly ministry with compassion and respect, how he reached out and healed the sick, how he forgave the sinner. And they see the love in Christ that, of course, is not in Muhammad. They see such a difference in comparison to Jesus and Muhammad. So when it says they are guilty of attracting Muslims to house churches, I would say, in retrospect, Muslims in name only are attracted to Jesus, and they find that these former Muslims in these house churches are so excited now that they have found a hope and a freedom that they never ever had before. So one of the charges is they are attracting Muslims. Well, of course, my Iranian friends are bold and courageous in preaching Christ, and I love this charge against them, weakening the belief in Muslim clerics. Think about how clerics treat people in Iran. Such meanness and oppression. Muslim clerics have no regard for humanity. And of course, when they see the God of love in Christ, they are attracted to them. And the charge against them is they're weakening the belief in Muslim clerics. But who wants to put their faith and hope in a cleric, especially a Muslim cleric, who only leads you to death and misery and destruction, and instead you can find freedom and hope and forgiveness in Christ? Now, they are propagating Christian Zionism. You know, these young Muslim men and women, they love the Jewish people. It's not propaganda. At one time, the Jewish people were treated with respect in Iran under the Shah. There was communities where Jews and Iranians lived together. But, of course, that's all changed under the Khomeinis and the Mullahs. But these young people love the Jewish people, and they are being told they've been brainwashed by Christian Zionism related to the American people, and that has nothing whatsoever to do with it. I want us to pray for these Christians. They need our prayers constantly because they are under a lot of pressure. They're being put in solitary confinement, and then they are trying to be tortured to get them to recant their faith, but they won't do that. Today we have been talking about King Cyrus on the cross in the desert and what freedom really means. I want to talk about this whole idea of freedom, though, and I want you to bear with me a little bit because I want to take it in a different direction than you may understand. I want my Iranian friends to have freedom. I pray each day for them to experience that freedom. Is a freedom that I want them to understand and have that goes beyond just having a new government and having physical freedom. As important as that is, there is another freedom that I want my Iranian friends to have. And let me explain that, what that freedom is all about. Back on June 12, 1987, President Ronald Reagan gave a powerful and a memorable challenge to the then Soviet leader, Mikhail Gorbachev. He's proudly standing in front of the Berlin Wall to a cheering crowd, and he says, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Well, you know, 2 years later, on November 9th, 1989, Reagan's challenge became a reality. The concrete barrier of the Cold War that had separated communist East Berlin from the West collapsed as thousands of people in mass droves crossed to the other side in jubilant celebration. Communism had finally collapsed. Freedom had arrived. There would no longer be this death strip between the East and the West. No more machine guns. No more guard dogs. Now, it would take another two full years before the complete physical demolition of the Berlin Wall was complete, but the celebration had begun on November 9, 1989. The death of communism was now a reality. I want to talk to us about this significant event in relationship today to Cyrus the Great and to what's happening in Iran. Freedom. This powerful seven-letter word has been the passionate driving force in the hearts of humanity for thousands of years and has caused the death of millions of people fleeing oppression. This seven-letter word, freedom, is one of the most precious words in the English language, one of the most powerful words on the lips of those giving their lives to be free from dictatorship governments. But listen to this, that word freedom. I want us to hear something from a Christian artist, Wayne Watson. He's reflecting on the historical fall of the Berlin Wall. And he composed this very thought-provoking song that causes us to think deeply about what true liberty is, what true freedom is. I want us to hear this song, and then I'm going to come back and talk to you about what this song means. That's Wayne Watson with a very thought-provoking song. I want to talk to you about it. Do you notice the chorus of this song gets right to the point about what Wayne believes true freedom really is? Freedom, people cry for freedom, but freedom without Jesus is just another wall. Oh, freedom, give the people freedom, but give the people Jesus, or they got nothing at all. Wayne is challenging you and me to think about what true freedom really is. Millions of people celebrated the destruction of a physical wall that tore down the barriers of an oppressive political philosophy that had kept them in bondage for many years. We're talking about the Berlin Wall. Humanity was no longer bound by the chains of a dictatorship that had enslaved them to a government that ruled their lives from the cradle to the grave. Now people were finally free to believe and think for themselves. Surely, this is what true freedom is all about. Listen carefully. 2,000 years before the historic collapse of the Berlin Wall, another powerful and life-changing speech was given to a mass of people. Jesus stood before his disciples and a crowd of religious leaders and made an astounding proclamation. He declared, "And you will know the truth. Truth will set you free." Well, Jesus was also speaking about freedom, right? And the impact it would have on our lives. However, we need to look closely at the kind of freedom that Jesus was speaking about. Let's go back a few verses earlier. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Very powerful words, but listen to what the religious leaders said in response. "Jesus, we are descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves of anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" Jesus replies, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Now, let's think carefully here. Notice the reaction of the religious leaders. In Jewish heritage, being a part of the great patriarchal family of Abraham, well, that conferred a very special status on that individual. The religious leaders were astonished at what Jesus had just told them. Being in the family of Abraham gave them great dignity and value. How can Jesus dare to question that heritage? They believed they were truly free. There was no corruption and bondage to break free from. However, Jesus points directly at the heart of their problem, which is also our problem, slavery to sin. The Pharisees and the scribes, they looked pure and clean on the outside, right? They loved to always boast about their own righteousness and spirituality. In their eyes, they were perfect and obedient to God's law. And they really looked down on the masses of people because of their self-righteousness. And what that says is the outward image of true freedom, well, that can be very deceptive. Image of freedom was celebrated on a fall day in November when the Berlin Wall collapsed. We all agree. But as Wayne Watson pointed out in his song I played for you, freedom without Jesus is just another wall. The physical wall had been demolished, but there is another wall. the wall within our souls that is still holding us in bondage. That bondage is the death grip of sin. The human heart is in the death grip of sin until it is set free and the chains are broken by the power of Christ. Physical freedom, it's wonderful. I celebrate that. I will yearn for that for my Iranian friends. Physical freedom is a gift from God, but it's not enough. Humanity can celebrate freedom from oppressive governments. When they fall, there's this great celebration. But freedom without Jesus is just another wall. What Jesus does is he offers us a freedom that no government of this world can ever give us. It is a freedom that breaks the power of corruption and sin in our hearts. It is a freedom that opens our eyes to what it means to have a living and vibrant relationship with the God of the universe. It is a freedom that allows you and me to dream big and experience a true life of true joy beyond anything we can imagine or think. You know, I'm a Christian author. I'm a human rights activist from Iranians. I have a passion to be their voice for freedom. It is my pleasure to fight for their human rights, and I write books to bring awareness to the world about their plight for freedom and justice. However, I have a very important responsibility to make sure that I persuade them of a freedom that transcends the oppression of physical governments. The gospel is the true freedom that every Iranian needs. It is the power of the gospel that breaks the chains of sin, that liberates us from the inward corruption that is constantly keeping you and me in bondage. Now, I can say this with certainty. I will never stop speaking out for my Iranian friends. I'm going to always email government leaders. I'm going to always be a voice for political prisoners on death row. I'm going to always demand their freedom. All of that is good, and it's absolutely necessary, but, and here's my point, I must balance out my passion with the truth of God's word. Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the true freedom that humanity needs. We can never be truly free until the walls of sin are torn down in our hearts. For some Iranians, not all, that can be kind of an offensive message. They may say, well, Randy, the problem with us in Iran is that we have had Islam forced upon us, and aren't you doing the same with Christianity? No. I want you to have the freedom to choose. Now, this gets into a whole theological dimension that I can't get into right now, but I will say this much. I want Iranians to have true democracy where there is no religion or political system ever forced upon them, ever. True freedom means they are free to make choices without fear of consequences from a tyrannical government. That is true freedom. What I am saying is there is a greater freedom, though, that Iranians need, and that hope and freedom is found in Christ, and I persuade them, but never force them, but persuade. There's a big difference. Now, this message of true freedom, as I've been talking about, goes deeper than the physical freedom that democracy will give anyone. And it's a wonderful freedom. Please do not misunderstand me. to make choices, to be responsible for those choices, but have the freedom to make those choices. Think of the Berlin Wall, the oppression that ended. Now, things have changed since then. That's a whole other topic. But the point is that that was true freedom. And I want the same freedom for my Iranian friends. But I am praying that they will see that there is a deeper freedom that Jesus wants them to have, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need to know the truth about our spiritual condition and our inward corruption. Jesus wants to break the chains of sin that keep us enslaved to that power. He has come to bring us life and life more abundantly. And so my prayer to you, if you are an Iranian listening to this broadcast, think of the underground church in Iran where your brothers and sisters have found their hope and freedom in Jesus. They did that willingly. They made a choice. And you can too have a choice. And I persuade you, I urge you to find that same hope and freedom that is offered by Christ. This is not another religion being forced upon you. This is an opportunity to connect by your freedom of choice with the very God of the universe who wants to liberate you, forgive you, break the chains of sin, and give you forgiveness, grace, and eternal life. I can say that many Iranians, literally millions, have found this hope and freedom in Jesus. And this is my prayer to you, to listen carefully to this program and to reach out and choose Christ, if you will. Reach out to him so he can give you the true freedom that is a gift from the very God of the universe who wants to liberate us all, not only physically, but spiritually. I want to thank you for taking time to listen to my very special broadcast today. Today is Monday, November 1st. I want you to have an incredibly great week, and I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert. Stay safe. God bless you.